Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Can anybody say Scott Sean White three times fast?
Not me.
Did you hear me mess up your name on the podcast?
Yeah.
Remember, I was talking to somebody about you on the podcast, and I was like, Scott, Sean, Scott, 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 and I'm like,
he's been hanging around saying too much. You know, he calls me Scon Shot.
Cute. On purpose?
Yeah, on purpose.
The Wilder Blue Boys love you so much and speak so highly of you.
Well, they're awesome.
Hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Is this the Barry White version of Bree Bagwell's
voice? This is, yes, yes. This is, yeah. Is that what, that's a very nice way of putting it. That's not exactly.
The reason I said Barry White version of Bree Bagwell is because you don't really... It's not as deep as some, like, you know, I know my wife, when she, like, gets a cold bad.
Yeah.
It gets deeper than that.
Dinosaur deep.
Yeah, you're like, oh, babe, you were sick.
Yeah.
You know.
So. I am just tired, but we went to bed at 4, played the cook-off show, which is after the cook-off. So it's kind of a hilarious show. Because everyone comes after they've been drinking all day, and you look in the crowd and you could just tell that everyone is just glazed over, and they're just but they were having a ball, and there was a guy chugged a beer out of my boot on stage, which I was that's the second time that it's happened. And I was like, you're going
to
need...
You were wearing prior to that?
No, they're worse, because they're my lucky stage boots. But people have been shoving money in there and napkins and spilling things. And they've been like sitting in the hot trailer that probably just molding for the last 10 years of my life. So it's worse than like my actual cleanish feet, you know?
That's awful.
So he might not be alive today, but... Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
First things first, can anybody say Scott Sean White three times fast?
Not me.
Did you hear me mess up your name on the podcast? Yeah. Remember, I was talking to somebody about you on the podcast, and I was like, Scott Sean Scott, 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 and I'm like,
he's been hanging around saying too much. You know, he calls me Scon Shot.
Cute. On purpose?
Yeah, on purpose.
The Wilder Blue Boys love you so much and speak so highly of you.
Well, they're awesome.
They are awesome.
Tuesday was so great.
It was so good to see you at the Opry. I was in the Nash Vegas and had quite a packed week of meetings. And then I got to go see Paul at the Opry. And it was just like, oh, this is what music is. Mm-hmm. It's not meetings and stress. And it's magic and music and harmonies and thanks for going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was glad that I was happened to be in town. And once I found that out, I was like, well, I have to go if they're there at the same time. So you're right about the magic part and the business part, because it's easy to get wrapped up in all the stuff we got to do outside of music and outside of writing songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's way more of that to do in real life than there is of the magic part.
I know. So I don't know how you do it all, because you play shows and you write. Like, you are one of the hardest working people. I love when you post your map, like where you've been. It's like thousands of miles all the time.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
My friend Eric Erdman used that app a couple of years ago, and I was like, what is that? He goes, it's an app called Travel Boast. And so I was like, okay, I'll steal that, like I steal every other good idea I see. And everybody, it always gets good interactions on social media, and you know, you're always looking for lots of engagement,
right?
So it works, and it's true.
Yeah, I'm all about the content that seems genuine. That's what I think cuts through, and you do a great job with that. Congrats on your new album.
Thank you.
Are you excited about, like, how's the release going?
It's going good. Bunch of super kind words by, you know, critics and whoever, but, you know, bigger encouragements are from people like Rodney Foster and Jack Ingram, and last night Aaron Barker You know, I didn't recognize Aaron Barker at first. I knew I recognized him. I just didn't put it together. Okay, who is he? I haven't seen him in a while. And when I came off stage last night, he was saying extremely kind things. And I just thought he was, you know, whoever. And I said, what's your name? And he goes, I'm Aaron Barker. And I was like,
Oh hi.
You're Aaron Barker? What? Oh, I mean, like, I just lost my mind, you know, grabbed his shirt. You're Aaron Barker. You know, and
I love
like,
it.
Yes, I am. You know,
it does matter so much. I mean, people can say nice things, but I will remember like Willie Braun reaching out and saying something really nice about my record or somebody. Yeah. And those really stick with you when it's, you know, people you admire, writers you admire, whatever. Yeah. But it is an insanely good record. Features just some great voices and has our friend Helene Cronin on there. Mm-hmm. And how many? Four? Is she in four?
I told her it's pretty much a Helene Cronin feature album. 4 out of the 10 songs I wrote with her. So,
yeah. They're so good. It's so good. If you, I listened to it again. I've listened to it before, but I listened to it again today on my way home. And me and Whiskey were just crying on iTunes, just jamming it. Make sure you have your tissues handy. But no, in a good way, cry. It's not like depressing cry. It's like humanity, real life, hope, all the things.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad. I know we were also like, Kyle and I, we're always trying to figure out like the Spotify tricks and the da 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 da. And it's just so hard to navigate putting out a record now. So when somebody puts out something that you can listen to front to back as a project, that's probably very expensive, but it seems like that's something that you really wanted to do. Like,
yeah, I think too, in Americana folk kind of thing, it's an album centric genre anyway, which is great. Mm-hmm. For me, because I want to put out an album.
Right.
Like, I was only going to put out 3 singles in the album, and then my producer Dave Brainerd, you know, he's smart and wise in a whole bunch of ways. He's like, dude, you got to put out more than 3. Like, really, I would put out 7 or 8. So then I was like, okay. And then I asked my distributor, and the distributor was like, well, you can only put out 5 if you're going to try to put out the album as an album later, and it count. All the pre-sales count for the day.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Kyle? 5?
On iTunes will only let you put out half the record. So I had 10 songs on the record. So
what if you have 11 songs? Yeah,
right.
What's 5.5?
Right. So that's what we did because we wanted to have a shot at the album, you know, charting on day one, because all the pre-sales from July 14th when we put out the first single until January 19th all counted the first day. And then the album debuted at number one on the singer-songwriter chart on iTunes.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's pretty wild.
But here's the other thing about you, though, is like whenever something happens with you, because sometimes I've been scrolling less than so I might be like a day late or something, but I always try to make it a point because you are the best at, I remember like when I have a song come out, you'll screenshot that you bought it and send it to me. And you do that with you do that with everybody, like buy your friend's music. It's so great without having to be prompted.
I think, I don't know. It's just kind of the way I function. I want to support all of my friends. It's funny, my publisher, he's a great dude. So people don't take this the wrong way. But one day, years ago, he's like, something good happened. And he goes, it's not enough for us to succeed. All our friends must fail. And I laughed and I said, the truth is, it's not enough for us to succeed. All of our friends need to succeed with us.
I love that.
That's like the truth of that, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a bunch of talented friends. So, and I get super excited. I mean, all of us do. Like, I was talking to Susan Gibson today. We had lunch before I came here.
She's on the record. Wait.
Yeah. She's singing harmony on 12 notes and 26 letters.
Yes.
And I was talking to her, and I said, I lost my train of thought here.
Sorry. I do that to people.
No, that wasn't you. That's me being old is what that is. That's old age.
Hold on. I know what we were talking about. We were talking about Chihuahuas. No. That's usually what I'm talking about. Your friends succeed. Yeah,
lifting people up. Oh, I know what he's talking about. And like, you know, being able to hang out with Rodney Foster a lot lately and his wife. I told her, I said, it's so cool. Anytime I've gotten to hang out with those Hall of Fame kind of people, not just Rodney, but some other folks in Nashville too, they all talk about the same things we talk about. They talk about songs and songwriters. Mm-hmm. They're sitting there go, have you heard so-and-so? And have you heard this song? And like, they get just as excited as we do.
Yeah.
You know? And so really that stuff is just a product of, I love songs and I love songwriters and I have a lot of extremely talented friends and I want to see everybody do well. So,
well, that's very nice. You're a connector of humans because you're the person who introduced me to Helene. Mm-hmm. And you were like, you're going to love this record. And I finally listened to it and I'm guilty of, I listen to a lot of things when I drive, but I never post about it or contact the people because I'm always driving. Right. You know the drill, but, I pulled over and I was like, I think I texted you. I was like, who is this person?
I know. And I remember that moment. We were outside Black River Entertainment in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
With because I think you just had a meeting or we wrote
with Johnson.
With Johnson.
That's Lisa, right. Lisa Johnson's husband was what, yes. I was going to say.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's accurate.
Well, Doug Johnson is totally a very accurate. Accomplished human being, but that's very funny.
But yeah. So it was outside of there. I was like, you got to check out Helene Cronin. And then, you know, I say that to a lot of people about different, you know, people and records, but not everybody goes and checks it out. And then when you text me, you're like, who is this? I was like, I told you.
Yeah. We've written, I don't know, four or five songs together.
You wrote this one right here.
We wrote the song The Rescue.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. She really did that one with me. I love her so much. And then somehow the distribution got messed up and she's somehow not listed as a songwriter on Apple Music. Mm-hmm. It's just me. It's like Bree Bagwell. And it's like, no. Helene is like, my champion. Like, I love her so much. And we really click and it's been going great, but now we're friends. So sometimes like she came over last time and we just went and got Mexican food and we didn't write, you know, cause we just want to chit chat, which is very fun to become friends with songwriters. But, we wrote another song, you and I need you to look it up. I was going to ask you, how do you keep track? This is just for my own selfish knowledge. Like, how do you keep track of all of this, of your songs? You have like a certain,
Sometimes I have to look back at my calendar. Like right now, I'm about 2 months behind in turning in songs to my publisher.
Oh, wow.
So what I will do is I'll look back at my calendar and go, okay, I wrote with Ben Roberts that day. Did we finish something? Oh, yeah, it was this. I wrote with Cameron Havens. I wrote with Helene. I wrote. Right. And so that's how I do that a lot, is I'll look back at the calendar when I get behind, which is a lot these days. I sometimes I go 2 or 3 months without turning songs in. My publisher's like, hey, it's no big deal. I know you're busy. Just whenever you get a chance. He said, because when I get 20 or 30 songs all at once, he said, it's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, I could see that. Who's your publishing deal with now?
It's just an independent guy up there named Steve Block.
Okay.
He's been part of the scene. He's kind of been Doug Johnson's right-hand man for 30 years.
You awesome.
Know, main song guy, song finder.
Yeah.
But he's been part of the scene up there for a while. And he just, he's great in so many ways. First of all, he gets what I do.
Mm-hmm. That's so rare.
Well, and I think that's the most important thing about a publisher. You know, the money thing, you know, definitely should figure into it. But for you writers out there trying to, you know, or wanting to get a publishing deal, you know, find somebody who gets what you do. And for him to get what I do, too, like, I'm me. I'm my own unique thing. I'm not mainstream Nashville very much. I'm left to my own devices. And so it's cool that he gets what I do. And then he also is just a great song guy. Like when he asked me, when I turn in songs, he asked me really smart questions about lines in songs that most of the time my answer is, you know what? We talked about that in the room and we didn't do that because of this and this and this. And this is why we ended up here.
Awesome.
But the fact that he's asking a question.
He's actually listening.
We talked about in the room. And I don't know how. You probably have plenty of friends, too. So many of my writer friends in Nashville with publishing deals, especially the bigger companies, Sony and Warner and all that, they're like, if I go, hey, what did they think about that song? Man, I haven't heard nothing from them about any of my songs in a month.
Yeah, I used to never get responses. Or if I did, you know, I don't know. It was not, I could tell it was kind of like, you know, I felt like I was bugging my publisher, which is so strange because for you to say, to have someone who gets what you do, but also to encourage what you do, it's like so, it's so strange to me when people want to, like the people that wanted to sign me to any kind of, maybe not just publishing, but other things. It's like, we love you, we love you, love you, but why can't you do this? It's like, wait, but what made you love me is what you're trying to change. And I just don't understand how it gets from A to B sometimes with people like that. So I'm so happy that, do you even have a quota? Because I feel like that's hilarious because you write the most songs of anybody that I know.
No, and I particularly don't have a quota because of that.
Right.
My publisher's like, there's no need to put a quota in there.
Because it's like one song a month usually.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, there's no need, you know, so yeah, and yeah, it's great to have a publisher who actually listens to songs and gets back with you on them, even if he's like, eh, that song, it's a song.
Right. Is he pitching? He's pitching for you too?
He pitches, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Do you have anything exclusive and secret and exciting we can tell everybody? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that question.
No. There are, I mean, there's probably a couple of dozen cuts that have happened in the last year by signed artists that you haven't heard of yet, but I hope you hear of them.
Cool.
And I hope you hear of them because I wrote the song.
Yeah.
So I'm good friends with Brian Martin, who's, you know, blown up on streaming. And of course, I'm, you know, kind of, I have 3 Cody Johnson cuts.
That's what I was waiting for. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that.
Kinda,
but
I don't know. You know, the word that I was about to use was I'm kind of in the camp, but not like I don't have Cody's number kind of thing. But I mean, I've had 2 on Human, and I have 1 that's going to be on the deluxe version of this leather album. And that I wrote with
Helene. Yeah, yeah, she told me. I think she has a couple, right? So that is so exciting. I mean, I love that. Well, it's, to me, it's so strange because I don't feel like I sing other people's songs as well as I sing my own, but I'm never opposed to outside cuts, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but Cody, I mean, his voice is just so insane. Mm-hmm. But for him to go make a whole record of just great songs outside cuts, boy, I thought that was very cool. And a great opportunity for songwriters who are, you know, like the whole world has changed and people aren't making full records of outside cuts anymore. So it felt like Cody was like being George Strait in the 90s and bringing it back, like, business wise to the songwriters, and that was very admirable, whether that was his intention or not. I don't know.
Well, I think it's, I mean, on one hand, it's very wise. Like, I'll you know, young artists in Nashville sometimes will reach out to me and say, hey, can we grab breakfast or something? I like to pick your brain or whatever. And one of the things, if it comes up somewhat naturally in the conversation, I bring up the fact, you know, the biggest stars in the history of country music, hardly any of them wrote any of their songs. George Strait, Tim McGraw, Kenny Chesney, Blake Shelton. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go down, and there are plenty of huge stars, too, that do write or co-write a lot of their stuff. But I'm like, it's like, I think Bryce Long is a guy that got quoted by somebody I know in the last couple of years. He told somebody, you're not going to outwrite Nashville.
Yeah, because people like you are doing it every day.
Yeah, like all of them. I mean, Nashville's got hundreds of freaking great songwriters, and that's all they do is craft songs all day, every day, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And so, meanwhile, you know, if you're an artist, you have a lot of other stuff to do.
Right.
So it takes a village.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo, and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
I don't know. There was just this thing in my mind for so long that I had to play my own guitar, write all my own songs and sing, because that's what everyone in Texas was doing. So I felt like if I wasn't doing that, that I wasn't going to be a serious artist. Yeah. And then you just kind of hit this shift where you maybe meet a bunch of people that are just really good at it and really kind, and their songs deserve to be heard. And it's not an ego thing at all anymore. It's like, I know that I'm not writing like the best songs in the whole world that I could, they can't be trumped. And one of my biggest songs is, If You Were a Cowboy, which was, Anna Voss, Rachel Loy. And there was a third writer, and I'm going to be upset that I don't, I'll put it in the comments, but, and I would always talk about the song and talk about how Rachel wrote it. And she came up to me at a show and she was like, you don't have to credit me as the songwriter every time. Like, that's your song now. You recorded it. Like, not your song, but, you know, she explained to me that it doesn't have to be a disclaimer, like I'm stealing her song or something.
Yeah.
We worked together on it and it was the right song for me. So.
Well, I also understand, though, especially when I made my first album, you know, which is, I just call them songwriter records. When I made my first album, it really clarified for me, because I had this voice in my head the whole time I produced my own album, and I'm trying to figure out what my sound was and all that stuff. And I just had this voice the whole time going, be you, be you, be you. Mm-hmm. So I also understand that gave me a much better understanding of the fact that when you're doing this thing, especially in Texas, but really anywhere, Nashville or whatever, the best chance you have at being successful is to be 100% you. That's one thing that Nashville, I love Nashville. I'm not a Nashville hater, obviously. But Nashville wants to put everybody in whatever slot they need. Like, we need this slot on our label. We have this, this, and this. We don't have this. We need this. And if you're anywhere close, or if they just love you, they're like, oh, man, we sure do love you. And behind the scenes, they're like, we love her, but we got to change her to fit this slot that we need. And they have boxes. And that's one of the things I love about Texas. And, like, there's no boxes down here.
Yeah, you can let a guy chug a beer out of your boot if you want.
You can.
And it's fine.
it's just fine.
Yeah.
But there's no boxes.
No, I agree.
They're definitely not the same constrictive boxes necessarily.
Yeah, right. Because and when I had all those meetings last week, and, you know, you're getting kind of like questioned, what's your image and what's your this? And it's, well, you know what? Some days I'm on the road for 7 days in a row and I play a show in no makeup and a trucker hat. Like, I'm allowed to do that because people understand. And I'm, the things that I'm getting now that are kind of hilarious are, you know, well, you're wearing bell bottoms, you're trying to be Lainey Wilson. Like, she owns bell bottoms now, but she doesn't care. She want everyone to, you know, but that's the way that they think. Well, we already have a bell bottom person or something. Maybe. Like, what? There's plenty of room. And I'm in this writing class with Bonnie Bishop right now. She's leading the class. And she said it really well the other day. And it was, we think in our brains that there's this finite number of spots. And that's kind of how Nashville thinks too. Well, we already have a girl, or we already have a girl from Texas, or we already have and it feels like it's so limited. So if you already have this, you can't have another. Mm-hmm. And it's a very limiting belief. So everyone's trying to kind of get their own lane, and you are in danger of creating this whole other person rather than just being the person that you are. I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah. It is a challenge. It is a challenge. And that's why I'm so grateful for that be you voice in my head, not only as a songwriter artist, but like I said, it gave me a much better appreciation for y'all. Like, all the times that an artist that I wrote with or something would be like, man, I love that song. I wouldn't put it on my record, but man, I sure do love it.
Oh, right.
All of a sudden, I had a much better understanding of, oh, I know why they said that now.
And I
didn't take it personal anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh, because, I mean, there's a lot of songs. I mean, I've written over 900 songs now or something, you know, and there's a bunch of songs that, man, I love it. I would never go on a record with my name on it.
Uh-huh.
Ever.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, I get my feelings sometimes a little hurt, because not hurt. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I'll go to Nashville and I'll go into writing appointments and I'll say, hey, this is what I want. Like for the last record, it was like, I want a desert sounding, like a little bit of Spanish feel, like, and then like the one person that I wrote with there, they started immediately doing like kind of a bro country feel. And it was so strange to me because I explained to you exactly what I wanted. And then like we went the whole other direction and I only have so many days in Nashville. It's kind of hard for me to write there. I think it's like, I maybe write better down here. Just there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, there is. Well, especially when you're there.
Yeah.
You got meetings and all sorts of other stuff. I was talking, I mean, I have this conversation with people all the time, but again, I was talking to Susan Gibson today about in the last several years, you know, I'm determined, unless I'm walking the room and it's some kid with a record deal on Sony or something. And, you know, we have to, hey, what do you want to write today? What? But otherwise, even then, I'm most of the time I'm just trying to write the song that is in the room that day. In other words, the song that starts to fall out of the sky, you catch a little bit of it and you start to follow that vibe in the whole room. Once the whole room lights up, everybody in the room's like, oh man, this is kind of cool.
This is it.
Just go chase that song. Whether it's a hit single sounding song or it's a weird eclectic song or it's just has the potential to be a great song. Like whatever that is that day. Like I'm trying to catch that and I'm trying to serve that. I'm trying to serve that idea without any regards for anything else if I can.
Yeah.
And that's how I function the best. Once I start trying to think about, would Tim McGraw sing this? I get.
Right.
I can't function that way.
Good for you. Because I mean, I always think, you know, songs are from a higher power and they'd come and you piece them together.
Yeah.
But it's up to your work ethic and your, you know, you need to show up and not
and if
be late.
You fight a song that falls to you that day and try to make it something it's not, then you cheat everybody. Mm-hmm. You cheat the idea. You cheat yourself. It's just like, let the song be what it wants to be today, you know? But it took me a while to learn how to do that and learn to even try to do that. Like, because when I first went to town, my whole goal was to write songs for other people and have songs on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best compliments I ever got was in about 2008. I wrote Call It Even, God's Not Me, that are on my first record in 2008, not too far apart. And I had a buddy, Joey Floyd. Did you know Joey Floyd? He played in Toby Keith's band for a long time. He passed in 2016. So you may not have
known. I don't know. That's right when I was there, but I don't think I know.
But he said, I stayed at his house all the time the first few years I went to Nashville. And Call It Even, God's Not Me, or, you know, particularly Call It Even is my true story. God's Not Me is, it's not my story, but it's based on the truth of my story. And he heard those two songs and he said, you know, when you first came to town, you were trying to write what you thought country music was. He said, now you're writing country music.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
And I got the compliment at the moment, but as the years have gone by, it's really become even more profound and I got the full meaning of it because I was aiming at radio all the time. What I thought radio was and Call It Even, God's Not Me were the beginning of me not worrying about radio and just serving the song and being, like you said earlier, real life. I like to write about real life because it's
what resonates.
What resonates, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing because I feel like those are the songs that people kind of overlook, but then when it becomes a big hit on radio, people are like, oh yeah, I knew it. It's like, no, you didn't.
Right.
You discourage this type of honesty. And I mean, not everybody, of course, but sometimes it just seems like that. Was there a time when you didn't have a publishing deal or like, have you switched around or?
I'm on my second publishing deal. I got my first one in 2007, and then they went out of business in January 2008. I like to say I put them out of business
with your song.
But then I didn't get another deal until 2018. But most of my co-writers were signed, and I already had a bunch of relationships, so I just kept making the trips back and forth and doing it
and doing the artists. thing? I mean,
yeah, I just started that in 2020 when COVID shut the world down.
I didn't know that. Well, maybe I did know that because, like a lot of your releases and stuff have been since then.
Yeah. My first album was 2021. And when I was in a big corporate funk cover band for 30 years and
playing what?
Keys. Yeah.
You're joking this whole time.
Horn section. And
I did not know that about you.
Earth, Wind & Fire, Michael Jackson, all the stuff.
And, that's rad.
Yeah, it's wild. And I mean, like, before I went to Nashville, I was writing and producing hip-hop and R&B for almost 20 years. Programming beats, man.
Also rad.
Yeah, it's crazy. But so, yeah, I was in that band. And then when I sold the business of the band in 2018, and I had started to discover the scene of the Walt Wilkins and Drew Kennedys of the world that were performing songwriters, making a living.
I feel like we need to do a religious symbol for Drew and Walt Wilkins.
Right. and I started to see this community of artists like that that were, nobody outside of Texas knew who they were. And they weren't Texas country radio artists, but they were making a living at it. And I thought, well, maybe I can do that, but at some point I'm going to have to make a record with my own voice on it. And that was 2018. And then I was like, but I don't know when I'm going to have time. I'm going to Nashville 2 weeks a month. I'm already playing some shows. Like, I'm gone 3 weeks a month. When am I going to make a record? And then COVID happened. And about 3 weeks into it, I was like, I have some time.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had that much time.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I'll start working on a record. And so that's what happened. And then when I put the first one out, I was like, apparently I have to keep out putting out records now. So that's what I'm going to
do. And playing some shows. And we need to do some shows together, and you.
Let's go.
We'll call it the Nice People Tour. I can't claim I'm the same amount of nice as you.
No.
But you're the nicest person ever.
You are.
Yeah, I know.
There's no levels of that.
Well, I think there's a difference in being nice and being a pushover. I don't think I'm a pushover, but I do believe in being kind to people. And I think that you believe in being kind to people. And you are. You are the most kind. And I'm thrilled that we're friends now. Would you say we're friends?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, great. And we gotta write more songs. And I need you to find that other one we wrote. We wrote a song called "It Ain't Just Alcohol." That's really good. Did Helene tell you? Because I wanted to record that, and then I realized it was a ripoff of an older song that I had already written. That's why I started.
Oh, really?
That's why I started that melody.
No,
I was like, "What about this?" And I was like, "I really like that." It's like, well, because I've already done that.
Because I've already done that. Well,
dang
that,
it.
That's just homework. Then we got to go change the melody. Is what we got to go change.
Yeah, because it's a fun one,
which we can do.
And the thing about my records, which is interesting, is because I also have to keep in mind that I'm going to be playing festivals in Texas. Which is fun because I get to write songs that are like, what do I want to play when I'm going to be hyping people up for Randy Rogers or whatever, you know?
Right.
So that's also very fun, even though that's not like with you, someone like you and Helene in the room, like I would want to like, let's go deep and let's get in there. But then writing a really fun upbeat song is I get to do that live. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And Max, that song happened because we were trying to work on a big idea. And then we were pretty good and stuck for several hours. And then
several hours, like 8 hours we were stuck.
And then Helene started playing some little groove, or you did. Maybe it was Helene. And all of a sudden, some words fell out and we were off and running on that.
We wrote a song in like an hour after trying for eight.
Yes. And that's how it happens. You know, maybe we were fighting the idea that was trying to.
Yeah.
The idea that wanted to be there finally broke through 8 hours into the day.
Well, you're going to love this. Helene texted me the other day and I was like, I think I figured out that song that me and you and Scott couldn't figure out. Like, she's still thinking about that song.
No, she's told me about
she can't
that.
Let it go, which
that's
I love.
Right. Yes.
Because it is a good idea, but it's a tough idea. But that's a true songwriter who's still like, I'm going to figure this one out.
Yeah.
You too.
We love the puzzle.
Yeah.
We love the puzzle, which is both a good thing. And then sometimes sometimes I'm so enamored with the puzzle that I don't realize that puzzle's not worth putting together, even if you put it together great. Like I told somebody, like, and the difference is, like, particularly being a you know, staff songwriter in Nashville, my job's to try to write songs for country radio or whatever. There are ideas that are just, they're not going to function in that world. And if you're trying to write for that world that day, well, then leave those ideas alone, right? And and it reminded me one day a little bit different. I said, you know, if you have a puzzle, it's a 1,000-piece puzzle of the Grand Canyon, and you put, I mean, it takes you days, and you put every small little piece of that 1,000-piece puzzle together. When you get done, it is a picture of the Grand Canyon. That was a great idea. If you have a picture of a turd, it's a 1,000-piece puzzle. You can put that thing together perfectly, and when you get done, it is still a picture of a turd. Is that not appropriate for this podcast? I apologize.
Oh no, we've had way worse things than the T word. I don't love the T word, but it's totally fine.
But you know what I mean?
No, that's very accurate. I love
and
that.
I just realized that one day. I was like, oh yeah, I need to. And so I'm so enamored with the puzzle, sometimes I'll ignore what it's
going to
be at the end of the day. You know,
but it's hard when you're in it. I mean, it's hard when you're in it, and it's, but that's a great, I think that's really great for people to hear. And I love a puzzle, but I also love a happy hour. So if it's like conflicting, then I'm that was a good try, but I'm going to hang it up. You know, you guys have a little more discipline than I do, but I'm just so thrilled to be your friend. I didn't even look at all my notes. I have all these, notes, but we're done on time. But I just want to tell you that, Crazy on Parade, I wanted to like name my next record Crazy on Parade. That is one of the best lines I've ever, that's from People, Scott Sean White's song, People. And Helene, did she write that with you?
Yeah, and she made that lyric video. Have you seen that thing yet?
Well, I saw it pop up. We had terrible service yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
She's just like made it because she's nice.
She's like just to surprise me.
She's the cutest.
And so I've been, my joke with some people about it, I mean, it's the most amazing lyric video I've ever seen in my frickin' life. I was like, apparently she's the Spielberg of lyric videos, and I didn't know it. Like, you know, and part of that is because she's a writer on the song, and she knows the song inside and out. Mm-hmm. But I was like, holy moly, what is this thing? I mean, I was crying watching that video when she sent it to me.
I think that's partly why I didn't play it. I had a kind of an emotional week, and I was like, nope, not today.
Yeah, and it's funny because, I mean, I've told this story about People before, but when we were working on it, it took us 6 or 7 months, and there were several times we thought, well, we're not going to be able to write this.
What? Yeah. That song?
Yeah. And, but we had a little darker, harder edge tone intended for it when we started it. Just I had a title called People Are Complicated, and she had a title called People, but the idea originally was a little on the darker side of people, right? And by the time we got done with it, I was playing it, and I would tear up at the house when I was sitting there practicing it, right? You know, because I was like, oh, this celebrates people.
It's great. It's one of my favorites. And Helene and I were on people.com. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you should pitch that to, they need a theme song.
I tagged them in the,
you did?
In the video.
Oh, that's so smart. You did?
Like,
okay, that's so smart. Oh, you're way ahead of me.
Maybe,
see, look, you know what you're doing.
You should look at it. I mean, you know, if you're watching.
Listen, People Magazine, boy, do we have a deal for you for the low, low, low price of...
Zero.
No, I was going
to... Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm a songwriter.
Yeah,
I'm used
right.
to zero.
You know, Kyle's back there going like, 20 grand, 20 grand. But thank you so much. We are like, we did it. It flew by. Thank you so much. And you put my dog to sleep with your soothing voice.
Oh.
She's a good girl. Thanks for being here. Let's go write a song. Just kidding.
Let's do it.
With just 12 notes and 26 letters, depending on how you put them all together, to make somebody dance, make somebody smile, take their mind off of life for a little while. Start a revolution that'll change the world, and if you get it right, you can get the girl. Turn 3 minutes into something that'll last forever.